Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
It's what you think are the best versions.
Well, I mean, like, they, you know, efficiency, like cars and that kind of stuff. It's like, they make, like,
there we go.
You make a car that lasts longer and is cheaper to fix, that's definitively better.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, like, one thing. I'm not necessarily saying that they do that with
electronics.
Everything.
Well, yeah, no one does that with everything.
Yeah. I don't know, but electronics, German electronics are fantastic.
What German company makes electronics?
Hammacher Schlemmer.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I have a Hammacher Schlemmer video player in myself. It only plays Hammacher Schlemmer videos, so unfortunately I can only watch weird German safety training videos.
All right. Before we get on any other tangent, I gotta start making a point. Not a single one of you motherfuckers making Warhammer Fantasy Battle memes online have ever fucking played Warhammer Fantasy Battles.
I've never seen a Warhammer Fantasy Battle meme online.
Oh my god, that's all that's online right now, because everyone's talking about the return of the old world. And they're all talking like, oh, like, it's all like...
Are they just Total War memes?
No, they're it's legit. It's like the Thanos meme. It's like, you come to me. You know, and it's got the Warhammer Old World on there. I'm like, fuck you guys. You guys never fucking played Warhammer Fantasy Battles. I was born into it.
I mean, most people didn't play that game.
No one played it. Exactly. That's the fucking point I have with it. Anyway, I just got to get that off my chest right off.
All right, fair enough.
All right. Welcome to Game Classy.
You yell at those memesters.
I'm your host, Joe. With me, as always, my co-host, Steve.
Hello.
And yeah,
I have no sugar, no calories. I'm Diet Steve.
Diet Steve. Do you have caffeine though?
I do have caffeine.
Yes. So right now, if in case you haven't guessed, the big news, which was not released after the podcast for a change, is that Games Workshop is going back to the well and releasing Warhammer Fantasy Battles, or as they're calling it, Warhammer the Old World. No idea what it's about.
Yeah, there's no details.
There's no details whatsoever. It's an idea that they're headlining.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Yeah. It could literally be just a penis that you put on the table.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice.
And they're calling it the Old World. No, I mean, I have a couple ideas, and I kind of wanted to talk about this at the beginning of the cast, because what could it possibly be? Because so some people are saying, like, oh, it's a return to Warhammer Fantasy Battles.
I think that's the least likely.
Yeah. Here's why that's a bad idea. And I think Steve will agree with this. We don't know what version of Warhammer Fantasy Battles it's going back to. Because there are many versions of Warhammer Fantasy Battles. And not all of them are good.
Also, there's just no way it's going to be the rank and file square based Warhammer game that you know.
The only thing with that is that they had that that square based preview. Remember what they did? They showed the square base.
The closest thing I could think of that would, if it was that, is that it's going to be alternative rule set, and they're going to do the movement trays like they did for War of the Ring.
Yeah.
So you're going to use your Age of Sigmar figures, and you're going to put them in square movement trays with circle holes in them,
right?
Because they already, like, I mean, in terms of, like, let's say Bad Blood, you made a bunch of Bad Blood by dropping Fantasy and being like, you got a circle base now,
but
and it's gonna
they
be
make Bad Blood, because they went from 5% sales to 50%.
They did
sales.
Those years ago. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like you it's just
all
it's
those all those people who played Warhammer 8th edition are dead now from diabetes.
Let's just brass tacks here. You can't support three full army games.
Brass tacks.
You can't.
Well,
it's not possible.
They're doing three right now, including Lord of the Rings.
That's not a full army game. Lord of the Rings, you need way less figures to play Lord of the Rings. Even if you were competitively playing Lord of the Rings, you need way less figures.
Yeah.
So, like, in terms of, and Fantasy's always needed more figures than Age of Sigmar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's just no way it's that. It can't be. Like, I mean, or it's going to be made how they have how Warhammer 30,000 is a thing.
Yeah,
it's going to be that exact same thing, but for Warhammer Fantasy.
So here's what I'm thinking would be, and this is probably not what they're going to do, but I think would be the smartest way that they can do it. Right. Basically, what it is it's a rule supplement for Warhammer Age of Sigmar. It is just Warhammer Age of Sigmar rules, but it's a specific army book that just tells about all the army. Like, this is how you'd play dwarves, and these are the stats for dwarves in the old world, and maybe have some of the characters in there as well. So it is literally Age of Sigmar, but the armies are designed around the old world instead.
Yeah, but what if it's War Master?
It's not Warmaster.
It's not Warmaster.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
It would be
just a rule supplement that just is like, hey, you want to play a high elf army? This is what a high elf army is. You can only play it in games of Warhammer, the old world. It's not competitive, and you can't use it in competitive Age of Sigmar or whatever have you. It's not compatible with Age of Sigmar. There are probably some other rules are attached to it, but it's the same basic game mechanics. And because it's like I was sitting there thinking like, well, Games Workshop's probably doing this because they don't want to leave any money on the table for Ninth Age to pick up. And I'm like, wait.
Ninth Age isn't picking up any money.
Or that new edition of Kings of War, which I've heard is not terrible, but.
No, but most people who play Kings of War, if I wanted to play Kings of War, I would just get movement trays and put my Age of Sigmar models on it.
Exactly.
There's no reason to.
No, you just get a big movement tray and you put one guy in the center and you say, this is my movement tray.
I mean, sure, also that. Use empty movement trays with, like, just write on them.
Yeah, because that's what that game is. It's just empty movement trays.
It's true.
I mean, not that I'm saying it's a bad game, but it's
it's basically a game between giant single models.
Yeah. There's not a...
Which is cool.
I mean, it's kind of cool. I mean, yeah, but that's the whole thing. It's like, why spend all that time? It's like, oh, you have a block of 40 lizard men. Why are you going to paint 40 lizard men when you don't need to paint 40 lizard men?
The best way to play that game is to play an Age of Sigmar army and then put it on movement trays. And then you have an army for two games.
An army for two games.
The biggest thing, there's a couple, my two biggest points are one, they said it's like 2 to 3 years out. So why the fuck did they announce it now? So silly. No details. That's whack. I think the actual answer is it's going to be something that no one expects and it's going to be something new. I think they might make maybe they'll make
15 millimeter fantasy game.
Well, no, they might just make a new game. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
they could. Well, here's the reason why I'm doubting that, because specifically in the announcement, they talk about Total War, right? And as I said to you, my joke was, hey, they're finally making a tabletop game out of Total War.
Well, I mean, making a Battle of the Five Armies box set, but for Warhammer, makes sense.
Yeah.
Remember how I was saying, like, the way they could bring back Warmaster and have people actually play it was a boxed game? I think that's what it'll be. So, like, think
they do, like, a Warmaster scale.
Think Adeptus Titanicus, but for Warhammer Fantasy Battles.
I think that they would make more people angrier than when they got rid of Warhammer Fantasy if they did that.
What, a boxed game?
Boxed game of Warmaster?
People would be fucking jizzing about
that.
No,
they would not. Oh, especially they would. If they're waiting for like an actual army, like, because what I think people are interested in is
that's like saying people got mad because Adeptus Titanicus came out. No one got mad about that.
No, because it already existed, and it's not like people were going like, I want a full 28 millimeter scale Titan game, though some people probably were. But no, people understood, like, they've played Epic for years and years and years. Epic is a game that people demanded.
Yeah, but nobody wants Warhammer.
No one wants Warmaster besides you. I mean, I love Warmaster, don't get me wrong, but no one cares about Warmaster anymore.
Well, it's not Warmaster. It's Warhammer Fantasy Battles of the Old World.
Yeah.
But it's still a different game. Don't use the Warmaster system. Just I'm saying, like, it could be something like a box game. They wouldn't use the Warmaster system. They would use a new system like they have for Adeptus Titanicus or Aeronautic Imperialis.
Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking. The most likely thing I think of is it's going to be a boxed, expandable board game or whatever you want to. I don't know. I consider Adeptus Titanicus as a board game, even though it has miniatures. That's the thing I would think of. Like, it's probably going to be that.
Yeah.
So
if it was plastic army in a box, like, but you think they would really do a 10 millimeter style game?
I mean, I don't know.
I think what people want is they want Total War.
Well, if they want Total War, then they have to do a small scale game because you use a fuck ton of guys in Total War. Your armies are huge in Total War.
Not really, though. When I play Total War, at least Total War 1, I've never played Total War 2. I don't think my computer could support it if it tried.
Use a shit ton of guys.
Yeah. But I mean, even still, it's not that many. I mean, like, okay, so it reminded me of a standard 7th ed game of fantasy. Like, when I was playing it.
I mean, that's still over 100 models.
It's a lot of guys. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. I don't think it would be... I don't think people are interested in the Warmaster. They want old...
I just don't think that there's a market there. I don't
think there's a market there either.
I think there's a market for a boxed game. Because, as we said before, their box sets sell like crazy. It doesn't matter what it is. So.
I think that there's a market for taking war... Like what you said, Age of Sigmar... Putting it in the movement trays like that.
Oh, yeah.
And using Age of Sigmar rules for essentially old world armies.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely thing. And then what you could do is they could do specific, like, so the way you could make that game, and fill in all the gaps is like you make Warhammer Fantasy Battles, and then you do, like, say you do a Bretonnian army.
Yeah.
But it's only for Warhammer the Old World.
Yeah.
So it's like it's on the square trays, but yeah, you can totally use your Age of Sigmar armies because it's got all the armies in there. But now you can also have Bretonnians, and they're only in this game.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
So that's also a pretty likely scenario, I think, because then you can have a game where you're going to sell people on the movement trays and the books.
Yeah.
If they don't want to buy a whole new army, but then you're also going to have people who are like, oh, I'm more interested in this game, and I would play a Bretonnian army, and that's what I'll do. I'll buy this Bretonnian army because it's made for this game.
Yeah, and what it kind of reminded me of is when I was thinking like that, I was thinking that exact same thing is basically what's the newest top selling mini game out right now?
It's 40K.
Well, no, the newest, the one that's come out. The latest.
Ice and Fire.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ice and Fire, round circle bases inside a square movement trace.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I mean, granted, it's not that great selling. I mean, I do see more people playing it now. I think the oversaturation on the market is finally.
Well, it's cheap.
Yeah, and
it's very inexpensive.
Yeah, you have that going for it right now. So you actually are going to have people who have their old armies that are still on square bases being able to play, people taking their new round stuff, putting it on there. Yeah. You have a lot of units that are now nerfed. There's units that are completely squatted out of Fantasy or Age of Sigmar that you could actually play with again in their proper context.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing. We'll have to see. But again, it's like I hate it because it's like, oh, it's 3 years away. It's just like, okay. So we're just going to speculate for 3 years?
Okay, so let's go over some of the shitty stuff about Warhammer Fantasy Battles that no longer exists, okay? So first of all, wheeling. Wheeling your units was fucking mind-numbingly...
Yes, wheeling was terrible.
Awful. Marching and moving through any kind of terrain in Warhammer Fantasy Battles. It was just like, your game was over. It was like, you put, like, let's put a tree in the center of the table. Well, yeah. Fucking game's over.
Oh, you're playing Beastmen? Fuck, I lost.
Yeah, exactly. There's a tree right there.
And it's like, well, I guess your army wins because you ignore that terrain.
Uh-uh, I am a wood elf.
Yep, you win. Or like dwarves, like, oh god, dwarves hitting terrain.
Oh, it was miserable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Terrain rules were awful.
Oh, okay, and then you got your block of... I got this huge unit of 40 guys. It's got a 6-man frontage. Okay? You do. Roll 6 dice. Oh, wait. 7 dice because your champion has 2 attacks. All right. So that giant block of 40, let's roll those dice. Okay. That's that round of combat right there. I did a wound.
I mean, combat res and everything.
Then you throw your chops back and your unit of 30 guys. Oh, you did 2 wounds. Okay. So let's add up the combat res.
I didn't mind rolling less dice, but they added more in 8th edition. You would attack with more ranks.
Yeah, that was the smart thing. And I mean, it's not like Age of Sigmar, you're going to get that many chops in depending on
personally,
the unit.
What I would have done for Fantasy, like if I wanted to make like the fixed thing, is you would get the so your combat res. So if you had 3 ranks, that's how deep you attack. You attack up to your ranks in combat resolution, and then spears add an additional rank. And then that also adds to your combat res. So spears become, if you have a unit of spears, it's +4 for ranks, and then you get 4 ranks of attacks with spears.
Yeah, all right.
Because that gives you the ability to, that makes bigger units better, but it doesn't 100% destroy smaller units. Also, it makes 10-man units pretty good because you're like, oh, I get 2 ranks of attacks.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, you have your ranks of 10 handgunners. Oh, you can only shoot from that front rank, so you got to put a big line of handgunners. It's like such a...
Yeah,
stupid.
and all range.
So fucking stupid.
I would do all ranged units fire in 2 ranks.
I would just do all ranged units just fire. Like
nah, because then
nah, dog, nah.
That's not how it works. You gotta have some reason to do the reforming.
Reforming. Here's another fucking thing that shit.
I liked reforming.
Each
thing just needed minor tweaks to be really like wheeling, for example. Don't measure it. Like, just let units fucking wheel when they move.
Yeah.
So, like, if you move 6 inches, you move 6 inches, and you can just wheel. At the end, you get to free rotate your unit. Like, that's the rule.
I mean, and, like, all the stuff that I'm talking about were stuff that it took me a while to truly appreciate in Age of Sigmar. Like, once I played, like, 2 or 3 games of Age of Sigmar, I was like, oh, this is so much better. This is so much nicer.
There's a lot of stuff that's good, and there's a lot more stuff that is good than stuff that I don't like.
Yeah.
Like I don't like how messy combat is. Combat's very, very messy.
It's right. It is. But you get to throw so many more chops. That's what makes it nice.
Well, sometimes. Because combat's messy, because everything is exactly where it is. So sometimes you throw more chops. Sometimes you moved a little bit wrong, and now you barely have any attacks, and you're like, fuck. Yeah. So that's kind of whack. And then...
that is whack.
Combat takes a really, really long time now. Like, once units touch, they're pretty much fighting for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
If they're two full-sized units, it just takes the whole game for them to get whittled down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand that, like, that's kind of a design reaction to, like, one of the things that sucked about Warhammer Fantasy was, like, your big unit would, like, on an unlucky dice roll, run away and die.
Yeah.
That sucked. And you could fix that with just some simple tweaks. You have your rank bonus is added to your leadership, things like that. Like, just a universal
to
rule.
To me, Warhammer Fantasy battles, like, 6th, 7th, 8th, I barely played 8th. I think I played maybe one game of 8th.
8th is awful.
6th and 7th edition was literally, it's like, we're going to set up a 2,000-point game, and we're going to play all day. That's what this game is.
I never played that long. I got pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean, normal depends on your player, right? Like, if I'm playing against you, we'd probably be done in, like...
Three hours,
let's say. Right, a 2,000-point game. I'm playing with my Empire men, you're playing with your... I don't know.
Nurgle demons.
So you will win.
Yes.
Because if we're playing 7th edition, you're immune to psychology.
Yeah,
and
I cause fear, and you guys are not immune to psych. So they run.
Not if I bring my all flagellants.
And then I just kill them.
Yeah.
With poison attacks. I roll a lot of dice, and I was like, sixes! Look at all those flagellants dying!
But if I'm playing against, let's say, Dwayne and his orcs, I will be playing that game for 7 hours.
Yeah, it'll be a long game.
Yeah, because he loves the bullshit during the game. I love bullshitting during the game, too. But it's just the style of play. It's a long fucking game.
Oh, yeah.
It's the play.
I gotta go get the laundry now.
You go get your laundry. All right. That just... Where were we talking? I was bitching about
the bad
fantasy.
Things in fantasy.
Bad things in fantasy. Oh, yeah.
You were currently at the length of games.
Oh, yeah. Length of games. Fucking...
7 hours.
I mean, not that you're saying Age of Sigmar is that much better. Age of Sigmar can get...
It can definitely bog. But Age of Sigmar bogs even if you're playing it fast because you're just rolling a lot of dice.
You're rolling a shit ton of dice. There are a couple good things. I do like the more open tables of fantasy. I feel like Age of Sigmar tends to become a bit more cluttered with terrain.
Well, it's because terrain doesn't matter outside of getting special rules for the most part.
Yeah. And I also...
It doesn't fuck you over. It's like terrain's like usually all upside.
And I kind of feel like... I just feel like the Age of Sigmar rules and army rules are just written better than fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that it's mainly because I think Games Workshop's a lot more responsive to, like, oh, shit, we gotta fix this.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the gear being a great example of just, like, not putting points on gear.
Yeah.
And being like, you can use spears or swords and shields.
And that was the other thing that was fucking miserable about fantasy was... Fucking the min-maxing of every individual guy inside that unit.
Oh, it was awful. But you had to, because if you didn't, you lost.
You lost, yeah.
And it's like, oh, you use spears? You're a fucking idiot. Or, like, you didn't use spears? You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Depending on what unit it was.
Exactly.
You know, it's like skeletons with spears? It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
You're paying more points to make your models worse.
Yeah.
Elves with spears? Good idea.
Yeah. You get 3 ranks. Well, yeah. At least
you get extra chops of always striking first elves. Seems fine.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. And I think... And that's what I'm saying is that I think if they just did a supplement saying, like, hey, you want to do an old world empire army. Here's the fucking units that you can use for this. This is just the stats. You know, you can use whatever fucking models you want for it. We don't care. And then here's are the characters you get, you know, Karl Franz and you get Ludwig Schwarzhelm. You get blah, 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 Balthazar Gelt and all this all the way down belt. Just the ones that you get in Total War so people could be like, oh, OK, I know these characters.
It's Lord Croak.
Who's teeny weeny? He's not in Total War. Nah.
I think Nagash is in Total War.
He is.
So yeah.
You know who's in Total War? Setra, the imperishable.
Oh, that's right. He's ready to not imperishable.
And that's something you can. And that's something great for you too. Is that if maybe they just comes out and all of a sudden there's you can play Tomb Kings again.
I don't know about that.
It's going to be expensive because they're not re-releasing the figs.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I saw the Tomb King prices are absurd.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is not... I ain't about that life. Especially when there's the Bone Reapers.
Yeah. the OCR Bone Reapers.
Yes, they're ready to reap the bones.
Fucking hate those models so much.
I love them.
The more I see them on Instagram or wherever else, the more I hate them so much.
I love them. They're dope. I love the fucking dude in his little footy chair.
Oh god, that thing's the worst. Worst fucking model
so
ever.
Good.
I don't think we've ever had such a discrepancy on likes of a specific army as we have on the OCR Bone Reapers. I hate that army so much.
I fucking love that army.
Yeah, it's except so cool. The catapult.
See, now the catapult, so here's the thing. I think the catapult model is sweet. And I'm like, yeah, that model's cool. I don't ever want to build it or paint it. And like, it's good, so it's really irritating.
With little feet on the bottom.
Oh my god, and it's huge. It's
it
like
it's massive.
It's so big, and it's just like, fuck. It's like, why is it good? Like, I was hoping it would be bad, or at least like, it's not that great.
The more I see of the main character, you know, the one who's on the big like display base
with the posse.
Yeah,
that guy's cool.
The more I'm like, that painting that model would be so miserable. There's so much stuff going on in that model.
Of shit. It's legit like six hero characters. It's six hero characters, the Lord, and then a terraining piece on top of it. It's all of those things at once.
It's the more I see it, the more I'm like, painting this thing would be
very
miserable.
Very cool figure though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm not
that guy is cool. Like, I kind of wish that his design was carried over a little more to the rest of the army, because like they're really like tyranny, like spiny, and I like that he's like a lot more smooth. Mm-hmm. I like his design a little bit more than like the standard infantry, but I mean, I like the army.
But Cetra, you can't make everybody a Mortark, can't I?
Yes, I can. So I mean, it's pretty cool. I think they're neat.
I think that there's something to be said about having like, if Games Workshop with the Old World comes out with something that's completely different in terms of like. Whatever. Oh, this was the other thing I was thinking about. It goes back to the min-maxing on the characters. It would be nice if they did on the old world rules, like kind of what I'm talking about with, this is the Empire list and these are the characters, is that the point cost for the models are individual. However, you don't pay any points for the upgrades.
Oh, right.
So, like, you have your, these are your free guild swordsmen. They cost 6 points a model. You don't have to pay anything extra for if you want to give them swords and boards. If you don't want to give them, they always come with swords and shields. You don't have to pay any extra to get your standard bearer. Every 10 models, you get a free standard bearer. Every 10 models, you get a free musician.
My design would be I would want to get rid of a lot of the like hang up rules, I would say, like things that make things kind of weird or wonky. So my big thing was like buying a unit, you buy by rank. So you get the unit costs 80 points per rank. A rank is flat. Like if it is infantry, a rank is 5 models.
Okay.
So if you buy a 3-rank unit, you pay the points 3 times and you go 5, 5, 5. That's it. That's how you buy and deploy units in ranks.
Okay. I could see that. I'm only saying on the individual level, because one of the things that was kind of nice about fantasy that you can't really do in Age of Sigmar is that I have like 15 points left over. I could throw 3 more guys into this unit or something like that.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying.
I don't like that you can't have characters join units in Age of Sigmar. I really dislike that a lot in the game. Because it's like, in terms of like, just like the way movement works, it's really fucked up. Because it's like, oh, I can have a Plague Bearer hero. Cool. But because he moves at a different time than the unit, like he might... You know, if he runs, like, oh, he just ran right outside of the unit, so he's too far. Because most characters have, like, radius effects.
Yeah.
So, like, I would remove the radius effect and just make it, like, units they've joined or things like that. I really dislike that because, like, I see, and, like, you know, the only time you ever see characters, like, in units dynamically, it's for units that don't move.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this unit of archers is never going to move, so I'm going to put my character in the middle of the unit.
Yeah.
And then just... Psh, 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 and just
or I have two Hellblaster volley guns, and I'm just going to put the engineer right behind them.
Yes, and they're never moving. Yeah. And so, like, that irks me. And then, like, if the unit's really slow, like, it's like you want to have your characters get in the fight, but it's like, oh, the unit he's with is too slow, so... The unit's going to move, wait for him. I don't know. That's one thing that irks me specifically about Age of Sigmar. And, like, you wouldn't need to change the targeting rules because, like, I know the big one of the big things is they want you to be – they want to make characters not protected by units.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to have, like, a sorcerer who's sitting
– You don't want Archeon in his unit of 20 guys – well, Archeon on horse in his unit of 10 fucking –
Right, you don't want to give Archeon plus 20 wounds because he's in a unit of horsemen.
Yeah.
Like that's the idea, and it's like, okay, like I get that. So just let characters be shot. Like, don't change any of the don't change any of the targeting rules. Like, you can shoot at characters inside units. Like, just because they have the lookout star where you have a penalty to hit them now, and it makes even more sense if they're inside a unit to get that, because then it's like, yeah, you can still shoot at him because you see the fucking dude with the fancy hat, and you're like, everyone shoot at the guy with the fancy hat, but he's like, you know, in the scrum of his infantry, so you might miss, but yeah, you can still target him.
Yeah,
that's my big gripes are characters, the way characters function in Age of Sigmar, and then casting. I hate the magic rules for Age of Sigmar. Yeah. I hate them. They're so shitty. Because, like,
I just think that they're not impressive. They're
So your experience with casting is going to vary insanely wildly based on what army you're playing. Just your army. So, like,
and you play Nurgle, which is a pretty magic heavy army,
right? But I have one really shitty way to gain bonus to casting. It's not worth it. It's a terrible choice. A lot of Nurgle players use it. It's not good, but that's how shitty the options are to gain bonuses to casting are. But all of the Nurgle spells are like casting 7 or higher, and you have no way to really like affect that. So I felt a lot of the games I was playing when I tried to make a list that like was really involved with casting, it like I just felt like I hope I roll a 7. Like every turn, like, I hope I roll a 7. Like, there's no, it's just like, you're just fucking hucking dice and you're like shrugging, like, I guess, like, cool. So,
yeah. But you're also the type of guy, like, to be fair, you are the type of game player who wants to eliminate dice rolls as much as possible when playing a game.
Or give me, give me choices.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, literally, like, I just go, I guess I hope I roll a, like, one of the things I liked very much about the old version of casting was you could use more dice, so you could increase your odds. It was still random,
yeah,
but you could be like, I'm going to commit extra resources to try and get this spell off. This is literally like, hope you roll good. And then the other thing that sucks too is the other player. Like, I play against Giuseppe a lot, and his dice rolls are fucking insane. So, like,
poor Giuseppe.
Oh my
yesterday.
God, his. Oh, why?
Because I went to Grognard's and I destroyed their bathroom.
Oh.
I did. It was clean. It just was not a pretty.
It was not acceptable.
It was not acceptable after I got out of there.
So, like, his rolls are fucking nuts. So, like, example, the last game we played, he had 3 wizards, and his 3 spells were, like, 10, 11, 11. Like, that's what he rolled. And it's like, cool. Like, I guess you get your spell. Like, all of his spells went off.
Yeah.
With no modifications to his casting. He just rolled really well. Yeah. And none of my spells went off. And it's just that irks the shit out of me.
Well, yeah, because you want to eliminate variables within your game. You want to be pure tactics.
Or give me, like, I could be like, damn, I committed extra resources to that and it still failed because I had some bad luck. It's cool. This is just, it's raw luck. Yeah. But then you have the opposite end of the coin where you have shit like Nagash, where he's +5 to cast. So it's just like, I cast. Like, he, like, can't fail. Like,
but he's Nagash. He's the god of death.
I'm not complaining that Nagash can cast the spells really well. He's 800 points.
Yeah.
But the difference is so stupid. Because it's just like, yeah, he just casts spells on 7s, so they go off because he has +5.
Yeah.
So he can't fail.
I know.
It's just like, okay, like, nice. It more, like, directs you to just, like, not use spells. Or give people, like, that's the other thing, too. Like, reduce. So there's several ways to do it. I don't want to go back to the classic fantasy way, because the classic fantasy way, unfortunately, because it was, because
you had to buy your wizard level, and then you got your 2 base plus and, 1 per wizard level.
Yes. And then magic was, your casting was dog shit if you didn't go all in on wizards.
Yeah,
you had to go all in on wizards to get as many dice as possible, and if you didn't do that, you didn't really cast.
Yeah.
Maybe adding dispel scrolls to Age of Sigmar would be good. That would be nice.
That would be nice. I was actually thinking that would be,
or have shittier versions of spells. Like, so example, a good example is Arcane Bolt,
mm-hmm.
where Arcane Bolt does a mortal wound if you cast, and it casts on a 5. But if you cast it with a 10 or higher, it does D3 mortal wounds.
Yeah.
Basically make all spells that. Like, all spells have a, like, lower the value of spells casting, make their effects not as good. But if you have a effect that's, so, like, I'll use a good example is, like, we'll say Putrid Weapons or whatever, the most used Nurgle spell. It goes off on a 7, and if you hit a unit with it, they do a mortal wound on 6s to hit. So let's take that spell and make its casting value 4, and it changes to mortal wound on sixes to wound, which is way worse. Way, way, way worse.
Okay.
But it goes off on a four. Then if it goes off on a seven, it becomes mortal wounds on sixes to hit. So you basically you do that's very little change to the game. It doesn't change the way casting works at all. But it gives you a spell that's going to give you more action. It doesn't feel like so many times I look at my wizards that I brought and I'm just like, that was a waste of 300 points. Those guys did literally nothing. That's why I said I was hating on endless spells, because like when they first came out, I was always bringing like two or three endless spells and I was spending, you know, 150 points on them. You know how many endless spells I've ever cast playing Age of Sigmar? Fucking zero. I've never got an endless spell to cast in that game.
You just probably have terrible dice.
It doesn't matter. I could have Giuseppe roll my dice for me. The Legend of Giuseppe is hilarious. He used to play this other dude we knew named Nathan. And Nathan has... So I know people say luck doesn't exist or so on and so forth. Nathan has intensely horrible luck. I've never seen a more unlucky person in my fucking life. He is just... always just getting, if there's variance, it's gonna shit on him. So like, you know, he's the guy who like picks up five dice to roll his Terminator saving throws and just rolls five ones.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. So Giuseppe always shits on him with insane dice roll, or would always shit on him with insane dice rolls in 40K. And then one time Nathan was so annoyed, he's like, Giuseppe, I want you to roll my dice for me. So Giuseppe rolled dice for both of them and absolutely beat his own ass with Nathan's army. He just like got, he said he was, he's like, Giuseppe's like, I've never lost a game worse in my life. And Giuseppe rolled dice for the other guy. So yeah, to give you an idea. So like, I don't mind having a little bit of variance, but give me, it's like, There's levels. There's levels of acceptability.
There's levels of acceptability.
There's levels
this
of acceptability.
This is outside the levels of acceptability.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it is. Because, I mean, all it is like, you know, as someone who wants to play to, like, I don't necessarily have to fucking win, but all it does is it makes it feel like, well, I don't really think I'm ever going to take another wizard in a game because they just never do anything, so I'll just use more fucking infantry. Or, yeah. You know, it feels limiting for, in a shitty way.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, it's like, I guess, at this point, it's never like, you know, before when you were playing in classic fantasy, you're like, oh man, I got to get a wizard in there because I want to pack a dispel scroll at least, or this or that.
I got to have a dispel scroll and I got to have at least two dispel dice.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, maybe I can cast some, you know, magic missile or some shit. Like, you know,
Well, you'd have to take at least, well, if you took a hero wizard, you'd only get how many?
You get one dispel dice and two power dice.
Two power dice.
Yeah.
But don't you get like two base? Dispel?
Yeah, you always have two. You get two. You get two power, or it was two or three power dice a default, and then you had two base dispel, and you get extra ones per wizard.
Extra per wizard. That's what it was. Yeah.
And then so like
it's been a while.
Yeah. So having like a small like bringing a couple wizards was like, yeah, all right, yeah, mm-hmm. That's okay. And this one just, I don't know. It just seems annoying, and it just feels like there's a very big gap in power levels of the spells people cast for what they need to roll. And I feel like a lot of the armies that like get bonuses to cast, I feel that their spells are really good and are casting on lower value. And it's kind of like, my spells are mediocre and cast on a higher value, and I have no way to get bonuses. Your spells are all better than my spells, cast on less, and your wizards get bonuses. This seems kind of fucked up.
Well, you are playing against Tzeentch, so...
well, Tzeentch is the most busted because they just replace dice.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, my spell didn't go off. I'll just replace this one with a six. Hey, my spell went off. But again, that's removing variance.
Yeah.
But that also has variance because the dice you get to replace with, you roll at the beginning of the game. So, like, you get your pool of dice, which is random. But that's... you know, I would maybe replace all casting with that. Like every wizard gives you a dice on that thing, and you can swap dice when you're casting spells.
There you go.
Or just something. My personal fix would be make every spell like Arcane Bolt. I think that's the most interesting, because it just like, because then you have, if you have bonuses to cast, it makes your bonuses really important, because you're always going to get the better version of the spell. And I'm not saying make the higher casting value busted, but like make the higher casting value what the spell currently does, and make the lower casting value a nerfed version of what the spell currently does. So if it does D6 mortal wounds, make the one that's easier to cast do D3 mortal wounds.
Well, there you go.
I think it would be a very easy fix. It would make wizards just a little bit better overall.
Yeah. All right. That's it. I'm done with the old world. Fuck the old world. And Steve's complaints about Magic.
Oh, fuck it. Well, it was mostly complaining about Magic and Age of Sigmar. Yeah. The old world Magic is whatever. It was a lot worse when you had spells that could delete units, which I played the least in. I played in 6th edition where there were no spells where you could really, like, obliterate units in one dice roll. That was pretty bad.
7th is where that kind of showed up, right?
It was when they released, when they did the Purple Sun. Like, when the Purple Sun came out. I think that was towards the tail end of 7th and the beginning of 8th.
I don't remember.
Because, like, I know End Times had a shit ton of, like, unit destroying spells.
End Times was a great idea executed incredibly poorly.
But in that time frame, that was where all the army books were coming out. Like, every army book had some fucking spell that just destroyed a unit. Yeah. So they like we're gonna design the game so you're heavily favored by taking units of 50 to 60 models, and we're also gonna make spells that destroy units of 50 or 60 models in one dice roll.
I kind of have an idea in my head of how I would want this box set to be, right? So basically what I would want is I'd want, like, one of those old style General's Compendium maps.
Just make it Battle Masters.
Of the old world, right? Like a nice map of the old world where it's all divided up into different sections. And so it's a campaign game based in the old world. And it comes with a nice rule book that has every army in it with all the war scrolls that you'd play. It's basically Age of Sigmar, but just, like, couple variances in how it's played, and it's basically a campaign game. Like, you have, like, a little nice little, or it comes with the tiles like a battle fucking Mighty Empires.
what if it's I made that offhand comment, Battle Masters, but what if it is like Battle Masters? What if you do,
oh my god,
what if you do a
Be Still My Beating Heart
Battle Masters styled game where your box set has a big map.
Big mat.
It is a big mat.
The problem with that mat is, by the way, is that it's 5x5.
It's an odd fucking size mat. It's meant to play on the floor.
I know it is, but I mean, like, it'd be nice if it was like 4x4, you know, and it would fit on a standard table.
So you have two armies that come with the little trays, where they go on their units, and you have it's a boxed game of, it's a boxed 28mm war game, and
Battle Masters was 28.
Yeah, I'm saying it's a boxed 28mm war game instead of a smaller scale war master.
Would we get a Mighty Cannon?
Well, here's the thing.
Or the Chaos Ogre.
You would absolutely get a Mighty Cannon. The base armies would obviously be Chaos Mortals versus Empire.
Yeah.
But then instead of having
but with Hobgoblin Wolf Riders involved and orcs.
That's the expansion. See, and this
no
way,
no that was in the base.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. I'm saying in my thing, it's each army, instead of being released in pieces, like you buy this unit, buy that unit, you just buy a box and it's your army. So, like, if you want to play the Lizardmen, you buy this Lizardmen box and it comes with, like, the inside. It's
wouldn't
like
it be amazing?
It's a Mighty Empire's Lizardmen army.
Wouldn't it be amazing if they released that, but it was just the, like, 5th edition plastics that were in there?
Nice.
So it was like the Lizardmen, but it was just the Skinks and the Lizardmen, like the 2-piece Lizardmen.
Yes. Yes, I'm all in.
I'm all in too, and a plastic slant. Like, they just make a plastic slant. That's it.
But it's got to be the classic one that really looks like a frog.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100% on that one. Yeah. And then everything is just all 5th edition plastics, just straight down every army.
Chaos dwarves.
Just got the halberds. That's it.
Yes.
Actually, that would be really fun now that I think about it, is that if they did release, like, a Battle Master style, but all the armies were just the 1-piece 5th edition plastics that you would get. And so it's like, I got the Wood Elf expansion, and it's literally just the Wood Elf archers, the plastic ones.
Yeah.
Actually, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I would buy that.
Yeah, and it's just every box is just like, it's an army. You want the Wood Elf army? Here you go.
It's just 300 of the same fucking figure.
Yes.
Just one figure. Oh, that's good. Well, okay, so other news. The Games Workshop website crashed because of the pre-orders for the Sisters of Battle box set.
Everyone saw that coming.
Like, really? I mean, it wasn't a bad deal, in all honesty, looking at, like, the price for the, and then the amount of stuff that you got in there. I'm like, it's actually a pretty decent deal for what you're going to get out of there. It's definitely not an army out of the box, but it's, you get a smattering of everything.
It's like a kill team or two out of the box.
Yeah, a kill team or two out of the box, and you get enough bits that you can make your female Space Marines and have fun with that.
Why do you need to make female Space Marines? Just play Sisters of Battle.
No, I want my Space Marines to be female.
That's the joke.
Female.
It's the joke.
I know. I just want to do that to make people upset.
They can't spread the Emperor's gene seed because their dicks don't work. Except for the White Scars. The White Scars fuck.
Oh, poor Space Marine players.
there was actually just an expose that I was reading. I can't remember.
Sexpose?
Well, kind of. It's it was an expose about right wing 40K meme pages.
Oh yeah,
they're fucking horrifying. Oh, yeah. Horrifying. Why Games Workshop does not like start putting a little bit of the.
You can't go after memes. It just doesn't work.
But you could go after the pages.
You could go after the pages.
That's what I'm saying.
I think it would be a. So anytime that anyone's ever tried, any company or anyone has ever tried anything like that, it always just, it's not even that it like blows up in your face. It's just like, it doesn't work. It's just like, yeah, okay. So you got rid of, you know, the Emperor's Dandy Boy page and then you open up Emperor's Dandy Boys 2. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, it just.
Yeah. But eventually if you break up enough of the bigger ones, they all kind of go into these smaller groups and it's not as.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just not as awful. Yeah. It's still awful, but just not as a pure concentration
that,
of
that
awful.
That would involve a lot of work that they probably don't really feel like doing.
They're like, no, we have to develop a game in 3 years that you guys are going
to
play.
We've got a game to play.
We've got a game. This is the old world. There's no racism in the old world. What? Okay, I guess.
I mean, you can't really have racism when there's no black people.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no, they've been working on that in Age of Sigmar.
In Warhammer, in Fantasy Battles, in the old world.
Oh yeah, in the old world, there's no
black people.
There's no black people in there. They, you know what? They're trying, Steve. That's all that matters.
I was simply making a comment about the old world.
Yes, we don't know that. It's a fantasy world. We can make up anything we want to make up. Just because Adrian Smith paints the guys a certain way doesn't mean we can't do anything our way.
Yahweh,
Yahweh, Yamo be there. So yeah, the Sisters of Battle. That was the big kerfluffle with all that.
I really like the floaty chair or the floaty pulpit with
the
flamethrower underneath it.
I like most of the sculpts. Oh, the models I'm never, ever going to play it, but.
That would involve playing 40K, which is not going to happen.
Exactly. It's 40K. I'm very impressed with the models, and I'm happy they're doing what they are doing with it, but I could give two shits about 40K right now. It's all about 30K, Steve. It's all about 30K. I don't know. It feels much more.
I'm taking a nap.
It's much more manageable for myself.
Well, yeah, because all the armies are the same.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty, that's exactly it. I don't have to freak out about shit.
Yeah.
And actually, it's pretty nice because 30K is a lot more lax when it comes to doing all of the illegal shit that I like to do, like bootleg models and 3D printing shit and stealing STLs and things like that. The 30K is a lot more lax on that. I got I just bought a resin printer at home.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have a plastic printer and a resin 3D printer. And
why would you need a resin printer?
The detail is insane.
Okay.
Like, so for like little things. So like, for example, Storm Shield. To do a plastic 3D a plastic storm shield, it doesn't take that long. They'll print it up in about 15 minutes. But you look at it and you're like,
you get the nooks and the crannies in the resin one.
It's like you see the lines that are built out in there. But in the 3D print and in the resin one, it comes out and you're like, holy shit, this is fucking insane.
Okay,
how nice this is. So that's what that's the difference between the two. And the nice thing is too, so. If I'm doing a 3D print on my plastic printer, right? Let's say I'm doing a storm shield, right? If I do one, it takes 30 minutes, let's say, to print up. 30 minutes to print up one storm shield. So if I do two, it's going to take an hour. Three, an hour and a half, four. You know, it scales up. On a resin printer, it just does it by layer. So I can print one, and it takes about an hour to print one. I could do 10. It takes an hour to print 10
because
it's just on the layer. So it's a little nicer for doing stuff like that. I'm very excited about it. I just got it today, so I didn't have anything ready to take to bring to show you. Like, Steve, look what I printed. And he goes,
make a bunch of dicks.
Yeah, well, I can do that as well.
Yes,
you can. The build plate's relatively small. It's only about yay big, so I can't really.
So can you? Can you digitally scan like the old Marauder legs and like make it look like they're not wearing pants and just grow dicks on them and then print Marauder legs where their dicks are flopping around?
Oh my god, I could just pay someone to do that for me.
Get it done.
Yeah.
I want you to have some dick marauders.
Dick rotters.
Or dick catachans. Catachans.
Catachans?
Do catachans. Yeah, with their dicks flopping around. Hell yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. So, Death Stranding, pretty good.
Death Stranding? Oh yeah. It's real good.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Because
Pat and I had an interesting conversation about that one. He's like, a lot of people don't like it. And I'm like, well, why? He goes, not what they expected. I'm like, well, yeah, if they got what they expected, it probably wouldn't be good because they're terrible people and they probably just expect terrible things. So it's just a fetching mission, fetching game.
So kind of sort of. It's so like you're delivering packages, and mm-hmm. then there's like various obstacles between you and the destination of where you need to deliver your package, and then there's also a story wrapped around that of like why you're delivering packages and so on and so forth.
All right, so you're the postman.
It's the postman, but good. That's what it is.
Do you have to fight monsters?
You do fight monsters, and they're horrifying. They're Lovecraftian terrors.
Do you fight them with the guns, or do you fight them with your bare hands, mano-y-mano?
You fight them with piss, shit, and blood.
And piss, shit, and blood. Yeah. You don't get a gun.
You do have guns, but it doesn't work against the monsters. Guns work against humans. But they're non-lethal. You can't kill people.
Oh, do you pick up a stick
in this world? If a person dies and their body is not cremated or disposed of in a efficient in a specific way within 48 hours, they become a ghost, which is the monsters that you fight. They're called BTs. And when a body becomes a BT, it creates a thing called a void out, which is basically like, what the fuck's that? What's that grenade in 40K that creates like the
stasis grenade?
The black hole.
Okay, yeah, like a stasis
grenade. Yeah, it basically makes a little black hole and like kills everything in the area and just it just deletes it. So like it just leaves like a crater and shit. So like you can't kill people. You have to like use non-lethal weapon. And then there's a few missions where you have to dispose of corpses, like take them to an incinerator and stuff. It's cool. It's very fun. There's a million billion cutscenes.
You like playing Daryl?
Yeah, he's pretty good. His like commentary is pretty great. Like when you're carrying heavier shit, like he like when you're about to eat shit, he's like, oh fuck! Like he reacts to what's going on. It's pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's very enjoyable. I really like it.
Here's the question though: have you gotten Disney Plus yet?
No.
Mandalorian's fucking good.
So a couple things. One, no more streaming services. Two, my sister has it, so I'll probably end up watching it, or I'll pirate it, whatever. I don't know. I'm like kind of like, eh.
You don't even have your Crunchyroll anymore?
No more streaming services.
Oh, no more.
I have what I have, and I'm not getting anything more.
I got what I have, and I have what
yes,
I have.
That's exactly it.
Let me tell you this. Mandalorian is fucking amazing.
Yeah, I heard the Mandalorian's good, so.
So, Star Wars, they always say New Hope is Hidden Fortress, right?
This is Lone Wolf and Cub.
And yeah. It's fucking good.
Yeah, all you need to do is just steal the great Japanese movies and make them Star Wars.
Well, I mean, it's not Japanese, it's Japanese story.
Well, yeah.
There are some Lone Wolf and Cub movies.
Right.
They're not great.
Yeah.
They're okay. They're not great. Well,
who's it? Is that,
It's what's his name?
No, the actor.
The
fucking eyebrows. Yeah. Oh, I can't remember his fucking name.
Not Toshiro Mifune.
He's in Wolf Guy.
Wolf Guy?
Yeah, Wolf Guy's a great movie. What the fuck is his name? I can't remember the actor's name. It's driving me nuts. He was in like everything in like the 70s and 80s. He was like in every goddamn Japanese movie.
The guy who plays Lone Wolf?
I think he played Lone Wolf at one point. He's the actor from Wolf Guy.
Tomise Buru?
No.
Wakayama?
No. His name was
Fumio Watanabe?
No.
Kato?
He had an Americanized name, the guy from Wolf Guy. It was like Danny something.
Oh.
Fuck. It's bugging the shit out of me. I my ability to remember names is just fucking gone, dude. Just
Sonny
gone.
Chiba?
Sonny Chiba! That's what it is. Yeah, I think Sonny Chiba played...
I only know that because it says... when I looked up Wolf Guy, it says Shinichi Chiba. But I'm like, oh, that's Sonny Chiba.
Yeah, Sonny Chiba.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he played the Lone Wolf at one point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, like, the concept behind that series is amazing.
Yeah.
And if they pull that off with The Mandalorian, it's even more fucking amazing. I don't know if that's going to be like a long thing. Like, at least the first two episodes, very Lone Wolf and Cub, which I'm like, or let's say the second episode is very Lone Wolf and Cub. Mm-hmm. The first episode. So
I heard the first episode was basically Star Wars John Wick.
A little bit. Not. It's not great. It's. So it has this great Western feel to it, which is like what a lot of people say. I like this. This is more Star Wars than the new movies. I go, yeah, because it's just ripping off of Japanese movies, which it's ripping off of spaghetti Western, which is just ripping off Japanese movies.
Yes.
So, I mean, of course it's going to feel that way.
Yeah.
Because that's all New Hope was it was just ripping off of spaghetti Western, which was ripping off a Japanese movie.
And, yes. And that's the progression.
And then after everyone figured that out, George Lucas was, of course I was just making an homage to Hidden Fortress.
Yes. The power of myth.
an homage. It was an homage. It was not me just ripping it off.
It was a scene-for-scene remake, except in space.
No, and it wasn't even, though, because he was ripping off the Searchers,
yeah.
Which was a ripoff of Hidden Fortress.
He had a specific thing that he was aping,
yeah.
As it were.
Well, I mean, because, don't get me wrong, I love spaghetti westerns. They're not all great, but if...
The quality ranges wildly.
The themes, though... are pretty fucking great and universal.
And the music is fantastic.
The music, the music for these are pretty good too.
Nice.
It's done by the same guy who did the music for Creed, because I was texting my friend Chris while I was watching this, and I was like, is it just me, or is the music for The Mandalorian sound a lot like Bill Conti Rocky movies? And he's like, yeah, I noticed that too. And I was like, and then we looked it up, and I was like, oh, this guy did music for Creed. I'm like,
nice.
Well, this makes sense then. Because it's got a little bit of that. But not like that. So
not literally Rocky running up the stairs.
Yeah, but there's so. I'm gonna give you this, and for people who haven't seen it, I'm sorry, but fuck you.
Spoilers.
So the second episode, Jawas steal a bunch of the Mandalorian shit.
Utini.
Right? Yeah.
Do they say Utini?
I don't recall if they
said
Utini.
That's fucking horseshit. If they don't,
they just kind of went as they exploded when he shot him.
Yeah, that's hard too.
So. He's chasing after the Jawa sandcrawler, and he's like basically just running after it, like fuck. Mm-hmm. And the cub, I'm not going to spoil who the cub is kind of following after him in this little bassinet. Mm-hmm. And it's total lone, like when he's carrying the wagon, when he's chasing with the wagon.
Yeah, with the wagon.
And I'm like, oh, this is fucking amazing. I'm sitting there smiling at my wife, like, why is this so great? And I'm like, but it's Lone Wolf and Cub! Right? And so he's running after it, and he jumps on the sand crawl. He grapples up, then he's trying to climb up the side. And it's total Last Crusade, where he's on the side of the tank, and it's going near the wall. And it's like, he's about to get hit, and he pulls up and everything. It's fucking phenomenal. And it has so much of that feel of... a samurai who's got this burden that he's got to carry around with him. And he's doing all these bits to get to there. It's pretty fantastic. And Nick Nolte's in it. He's playing an Ugnaught. Nick Nolte is playing an Ugnaught, and he's pretty good in there. There's
I mean, it makes sense to cast him as an Ugnaught because you don't even need to do any makeup.
That's what I said. And then you got Werner Herzog is in there. He plays the client.
That's awesome.
He's like, I need you to bring me this bounty dead. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This is fucking phenomenal. I definitely recommend at least the first two episodes. Like, it could shit the bed in episode 3 for all I fucking know. But they're doing, like, staggered release. So, like, every couple days they're going to release it, which I kind of like because I'm kind of building up anticipation for the next episode. I'm like, yes, I get to watch the next episode. And I kind of feel like that's a little bit better than binge watching because knowing Star Wars fans, it would be, like, binge watched within... like all 10 episodes been watched within 10 hours and all the spoilers would be out.
Oh yeah.
So I'd
be fully spoiled.
I kind of like the idea that I can sit down and not have episode 3 spoiled for me like on a Tuesday. Like whatever day drops.
You'd also have the ancillary guys who are spoiling The Mandalorian by just speculating for season 2 and you're like, "Wait, oh no. Oh
man, Werner Herzog was actually Jabba the Hutt." What?
Oh man, Jabba the Hutt's dick is sentient.
And also, Steve, you'll appreciate this. Mandalorian, at least the first two episodes, does not take the helmet off.
Good. He should never.
He should never. He doesn't even have a name.
You know what? The only way it's acceptable for his helmet to come off is if it gets blown off.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. No one in the show so far, at least for what I know, has a name. They're all just referred to as the Mandalorian. He's the Mandalorian. She's the blacksmith. He's the fucking Ugnaught. Like, he doesn't have a name. He's just a dude.
Nice.
That's all it is. It's very spaghetti western where
that's
it's
good.
Just like, he's like, hey, Mando.
Yeah, it's supposed to. It's just like, I mean, like, what are the characters' names in Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? I don't know.
Yeah, it's Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Clint Eastwood, Lee Van Cleef, and the other guy.
Well, and that's in episode 1, which is kind of like the John Wick one. It's not really John Wick. It's more of Man With No Name. He teams up with an IG-88 robot to get the bounty, and it's voiced by Taika Waititi. So it's pretty funny on that. And he's just like constantly like, I'm dying. It's time for me to activate self-destruct. He's like, stop. No, don't. It's like every like 5 seconds, he's like, I'm going to activate self-destruct. Like, no.
It probably is IG-88.
Yeah.
There's like five or six of them.
It's a bounty hunter droid is what they're calling it. I mean,
it could be an IG-88 because there's five or six IG-88s. They're networked, if I remember correctly.
No, you're thinking of the expanded universe, which no longer exists.
Oh, right. Yes. It's no longer canon.
Nothing is canon anymore.
That's right.
is not canon.
Which makes me so much happier. It's like those idiots who are like, let's do Darth Revan from the Force.
People care too much.
From the Old Republic. I'm like, no.
People care too much about it. It's just like, okay. It's like, yeah. Cool. It's just like, it's like the people who are losing their minds about like Shelob being a hot lady in the Shadows of Mordor. And it's just like, oh, who cares? Like, Shelob's a powerful thing. Like, if she wanted to look like a lady, she probably could. Shelob's like an ancient entity. Like,
well, that was my argument when they came to the Sonic movie. Like, internet's like, we won! We bullied a studio into changing how Sonic
looked. I mean,
Sonic
to be fair, Sonic looked fucking horrible.
I agree with that.
He looked fucking atrocious.
But it was like the worst thing that studio could have done, because A, it gave nerds a shit ton of impetus to, like, if we complain enough, things will change. And B, that could be used for horrendous things. Like, oh, my favorite character is now black. We can't have that. Like, we changed Sonic. We could change this. It's like, no, you guys learned all the wrong lessons on this.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I see what you're saying, but I think this one is going to end up being an outlier.
Let's all hope that this is like, let's just say, guys, we did the right thing this time. Let's only use this power for good.
Yes, but I mean, like, he looked fucking horrible. Like,
it did.
This is one of the few things where, like, the fan outrage, where I'm just like, yeah, all right. Like, I agree with that one. Like, that it looked really bad.
I have no skin in this game. I never gave a shit about Sonic.
But even still, you can
Jim
look
Carrey
at it.
Jim Carrey looks kind of good
in the
movie.
He looks pretty funny.
I'm not going to argue.
Yeah, he looks pretty funny. I did go from going like, wow, I'm never going to watch that movie, to like, I'm probably going to go see the movie in theaters now. Because, like,
you think you're going to go see it?
I think I am.
You're not going to leave the house to go see that movie.
It's so the mall's right there.
Yeah.
It's real close.
But even still, you never,
it's not
like,
going to be snowing. Yeah. It's not going to be snowing by the time it comes out. Yeah. I'll head out. All right. It's 5 minutes. All right. That's where I go see movies.
All right. I'll go. I got to go see Frozen 2 next. So.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. If the Mandalorian plays out as well as it has, I think it'll be considered one of, like, the great sci-fi TV shows. Like, I'm saying that it's like sci-fi TV shows, not Star Wars, just sci-fi TV shows. Have you seen the Witcher previews?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
It looks fun. Yeah. I know jack and shit about The Witcher. I've never played a Witcher game.
You never played The Witcher? I thought you... you were mostly Skyrim.
Yeah,
you
I never played The Witcher. I like The Witcher. I like the character design, and I love the picture of him in the bathtub, but I never played
the picture
it.
I like the picture of him in the bathtub.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Hot Geralt fucking soaking in the bathtub with his feet out. Ooh.
Gets me every time.
It's good stuff.
No, I'm looking forward to it. It looks like it's very well done. I always like Sword and Sorcery.
I like Henry Cavill, so yeah.
Yeah, I like Henry Cavill.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
He doesn't have a mustache, though, which is upsetting.
He doesn't have a CG-edited upper lip, so...
Oh, God, that mustache was so great in fucking Mission Impossible.
They should have just given Superman a fucking mustache.
Or a beard, full beard.
Yeah, give him a full beard.
Did you see them? You don't watch Mission Impossible movies, do you?
No.
The last one was really fucking good, and he was in it. Mm-hmm. I would recommend it. You kind of got to watch the one beforehand to kind of get what's going, but you don't have to. It's like, I went into it without seeing the one beforehand. I kind of missed that one. So I just watched this one, and I was like, okay, I get what's going on. It's like, they do a well enough job that you could just skip it.
But is there
it.
A Snyder cut of Mission Impossible?
Snyder cut.
Release the Snyder cut.
Release it. I'm super excited about The Witcher, because I just love Sword and Sorcery.
Yeah,
so
it looks cool.
Give me Sword and Sorcery fantasy any day of the week. It doesn't have to be good. It could be bad. I've watched...
Yeah, the last Conan movie was pretty bad, but I liked it.
Yeah. I watched the shit out of it.
Yeah.
I watched every fucking shitty fantasy series that was on...
Beastmaster, Hercules, Xena, Jack of All Trades, although that was not really fantasy.
Jack of All Trades is great.
I love Jack of All Trades.
I
do still want to see Briscoe County Jr. I haven't seen that show.
It's good. It's really good. It was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Way ahead of its time. Shannara Chronicles? I watched that recently. Legend of the Seeker? I watched that.
I heard Merlin is good.
Merlin, if it's the one I'm thinking of, it wasn't bad. I watched Camelot. That's the one where you see Ava Green nude, but you see her naked and everything, so it doesn't really count, but that was the one, that's the one that a lot of people know that she was nude from. But just give me, like, that's what I'd be excited, like, I know they're doing, like, a Space Marine TV show or whatever for Amazon, or whatever the fuck they're doing, but, man, give me an old world TV show, fucking,
Give me Felix and Gotrek on TV.
They could also just do they could easily do a really good show akin to, well, I guess, The Mandalorian, but you do the four protagonists from fucking Vermintide.
Oh, yeah.
And you just have them going on adventures together.
Yeah.
Like, done. Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, the TV show.
Yeah. It's fucking Emperor's Text-to-Speech. Did you watch the whole thing?
I did not. It was too long.
Watch the whole thing. It's the end is fucking hysterical.
I got to the part where they killed the guy they were supposed to protect.
Oh, yeah.
It's because I was like, yeah, this really feels like a game.
Well, the whole thing is then Magnus the Red is like, all right, so you have a choice of either doing this or they're like, no, I think we're going to go as far east as we possibly can. And he's like, I have nothing prepared for this. And it's like 17 hours later of gaming and they're all in like the fucking Ogre Kingdoms. And it's like the whole entire campaign goes off rails. Magnus the Red creates a super character that he could just kill everyone with so he can restart the campaign. And of course, what happens is that they manage to beat the super character.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to. You have to watch, though, because the way that it happens, you're like, you will say like this hits so close to
home.
I mean,
so far, it's been pretty spot on.
And speaking of, probably the last bit of gaming news, and not that there's not more gaming news we could talk about, but who gives a shit? They just Critical Role is now, they got like a 2-season deal at Amazon to animate the fucking show. Are you like me where it's like I cannot watch people playing Dungeons and Dragons?
I listened to one podcast of an actual play. It's Space Kings.
Yeah.
It's called Pretend Friends. It's the only actual play podcast I can listen to, but even still, I could not imagine watching it. It sounds awful. Like, why would I want to watch? Like,
well, it's animated, so they're gonna animate the adventure.
So animated might be a little thing there. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, especially because they're playing D&D, it's so dry. Like D&D. Like, don't get me wrong, I play D&D, but like listening to a D&D session sounds fucking terrible.
So the whole thing with Critical Role is that the DM is really, they're all voice actors is what it is. Mm-hmm. So they all can do the voices and do whatever have you.
That just makes it even worse. They should be using a better system.
Matt Reeves. That's the director. I don't remember what the guy's name is, but he's the DM and everyone loves him because he does all the funny voices.
Well, if it's a voice actor, it's probably Matt Mercer.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then they have all the people playing the game are all,
I know
voice
him
actors,
from the voice acting half of the world, not from the whatever.
Yeah. Matt Mercer, that's his name. So I mean, if you like him, you might want to watch it because he does all the voices. I mean, but here's the thing, is like, I liked Harmontown. They used to do the D&D stuff and they would always have rotating.
That was funny.
It was, but the thing was that it would be like 15 minutes of the episode, and it was like, or maybe about a half hour of the episode, they would play Dungeons and Dragons. It was all derailed miserably every episode.
Yeah.
It's like they did not give a shit.
Yeah, well, that's why I like listening to the Pretend Friends, because they're like, you need to sneak into this space station that ends up with them like infiltrating a fucking bar and basically having Footloose happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it just completely goes out of hand, like immediately. So like, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, but people legitimately playing, I mean, sometimes it happens on Critical Role, but people,
I mean, playing, if you're legit playing Dungeons and Dragons, you're a fucking group of murder hobos, which is boring as fuck. It's okay to play, but it's boring as shit to listen to.
Yeah. No.
D&D only allows for you to play murder hobos. Hobos, like that's all that system allows. Like, there's no way to not. And but I mean, it's very good for that. It's very good for going cast. Like, if you want to play a game where you go through dungeons, you go do quests, you kill shit with swords, ranged weapon, or spell, then D&D is your game. If you want to do literally anything else, D&D is not the system you should be using.
Nope. But yeah, but so they got because they did a Kickstarter to animate one episode. Animate one episode, they wanted to do it for $700,000. They put a Kickstarter, which is pretty, that's a bold move to make a Kickstarter for $700,000, right? They ended up making, I think it was $11 million.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But that, it just goes to show you, it's like this nerd world that it's just like they develop these cults of personality around these nerd people. And it drives me up the wall. It's like, why are you caring so much about these people? I don't know. Maybe it's just because we never hit.
It's just another fandom.
Is that what it is? It's just
there's no
Game Classy fandom.
There's no Game Classy fandom. We don't get to do the ads for the Purple Mattress or anything like that. Like, yeah. I mean, how cool?
MeUndies.
How cool would it be to like in the middle of our like one of our rants like and just be like, and I'll tell you what else is bullshit, Joe. Or wait, not bullshit. Purple mattresses. Now that's the way I can get a great night's sleep. Have you caught on to the world of purple mattress?
Combine it with my pillow, and you got yourself a deal there, fella.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. Like maybe it's because we didn't hit, so we
Bombas
don't have
socks. You want to wear some Bombas
socks? We don't have the cult of personality. We don't have people drawing.
Maybe we're just jealous and angry.
Yeah, there's not a ton of Game Classy fan art. We do have some fan art, yeah. which is more than most.
We
people
We have
say.
Great fans.
Yes, and I can say we certainly have
except for James. What?
I love James. Leave him alone. He's a good boy.
He's just an angry boy.
Well, you know, he's got to deal with Bojo, so
he's
got
to deal with these. Yeah.
That's his blonde idiot cross to bear.
Did you know that Boris Johnson wrote like erotic fiction?
That would not surprise me.
And he has like a tooth fetish.
I also would not surprise me.
That's a weird fetish, though. You got to admit, of all fetishes, that's a weird one.
There's, you know what, I've been so deep in that, it's just kind of like, that seems kind of tame to me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like a tame, weird fetish. Yeah. It's like if someone was like, I'm really into the fucking crease that's underneath a person's ass, you know, when their ass just hangs over their legs, just a little bit, that crease, I'm really into, like, okay, I see it. But a person's like, I'm really into teeth. You're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Get a real fetish.
You're just pretending.
Yeah, that's like a pretend fetish. Like, yeah. It's like you're too scared to have a real fetish.
Or
like,
you don't want to say what your real fetish is.
Exactly.
So you say teeth.
You say teeth. Like yeah,
because that's a fetish where people probably will not ask any follow ups, so you get to deflect away from them ever discovering your real fetish.
Your real fetish is Queen Victoria, I don't know.
Victoria farting into a Boston cream pie.
I was at the MSI for the Christmas around the world. They also had the English tree. England has a tree, not the UK, just England, because they have to have English, Scottish, Wales, blah, yes. blah, blah. But they had English...
Is it just a bunch of hanging tea bags when you walk by, it goes...
Better. Oh. They have teapots
on
there.
Oh, nice.
And they have pictures of British tea cookies, like biscuits.
Yes.
And like
digestive biscuits.
Different types of biscuits they have, and they'll have like clotted cream and stuff like that on the tree. And I'm laughing because I'm like, this is the Great British Baking Show tree right here.
I love the Great British Baking
Do
Show.
You?
Yeah, I love the Great British Baking
I
Show.
I love making fun of the Great British Baking Show, and I'm watching it. It drives my wife nuts.
Oh, I like it because it's like it's a great passive background noise.
It is.
And then like occasionally like they'll be like, oh, that's lovely, and I'll look up and I'll be like, oh, that is, you know what? That cake is lovely.
And you know, I go back to doing what I'm doing. And that's the thing is, like, I like the cooking. I like the... But they're always... Like, what drives me nuts about it is, like, today we're making a savory treat. And your two main ingredients are boysenberry, cardamom, and bacon. And it's like... What?
Well, it's supposed to be a challenge.
It's to make shitty food is not a British challenge. That's like standard British food.
You have to make shitty food that people can stomach and not immediately vom.
Just British people, like, you know.
Still.
It's like their mission in life was to go around the world, collect spices, and then not use any of them.
I don't know, man. Their food's like American food. It's just a hodgepodge of fucking other cultures' food.
I know, but Americans, I will stand by American food.
I mean, I guess it's probably worse for you, but I mean, I think the UK is like roughly about as obese as America.
It's true,
so
they are.
It's kind of like
the American tree they do the big America tree had a giant fucking eagle on the top
God
of it.
Damn it. Can our country go one day without being a massive international embarrassment?
Never. And they have like these little like shadow boxes on there for ornaments, and they're all scenes of like the little boy saluting the soldier, and then like all these like Americana scenes. And then they had the leg lamp from A Christmas Story on the tree.
I saw a fucking great clip on Twitter of that VR chat, and it was these dudes were talking to this Japanese girl, and she's like, oh, hi-yo, and she's talking, yeah, she's like, where are you from? And they're like, oh, we're from America. And she's like, oh, America, hamburger country. And they're like, yep. Hamburger country.
I fucking
like,
love.
Like, yeah, we are the hamburger country.
That's my one food. I can eat every day. I can eat a cheeseburger every day.
Well, I've been super into the different, the alternative not beef patties.
Is it good? Are they okay?
Well, so I've tried a ton of them. The Impossible ones are very, I really like the Impossible Whopper. It very much tastes like a Whopper.
Yeah.
I find,
well, the Whopper didn't taste like that great of beef anyway, so
it tastes like a Whopper. Like, yeah, it's like legit just like, wow, this tastes like a Whopper. To me, I was just like, this tastes like a fucking Whopper. Like, when I ate it, it tasted exactly how I remember a Whopper tasting.
Yeah.
So for me, I think the key with a lot of the fake meat, I think there's like there's a drive for people to try and like make one that tastes exactly like beef. And for me, I think that's a losing battle because it's never going to be quite the same until you get to the cloned meat, which is literally meat.
Yeah.
But until we get to the point, I've been preferring the ones that are, they have a good protein level, but are not trying to disguise what they are. So like I have like, for example, I've got a quinoa crunch burger. It's not a burger.
I hate quinoa.
Well, regardless, it is its own thing. Like, it's like, this is the quinoa crunch thing. And I've got another one that's like, it's called the Thai vegetable burger.
Yeah.
And like, it's not trying to taste like a hamburger. It's a bunch of different Thai vegetables and like tied together with like seitan protein.
I had
I like that a lot.
I had a burger recently that was like 50% beef, 50% mushroom I really liked.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that sounds good. But that's the key. I think that the key is finding a flavor profile that works with what you're eating.
Yeah, and
rather than just trying to make it a fucking hamburger. Yeah. And that's been working out really well for me because I'm doing the Thai one, so I'm gonna, or I got one that was like it was just generic Asian spices. So what I did is I put a little
mystery Asian spices.
Well, it was called the Asian burger patty, and I was like, huh, all right. So I put some kimchi on there and some sriracha, and then I ate that, and it was really fucking good. So the key is to work with what you have, not try to make it something else. Yeah. So I've been a big fan. So far the only fake meat food that I had that I thought was truly disgusting is I got these Aldi fake Italian sausages, and they were really good. I really liked them. But then the same brand had a fake hot dog. So I got after having the sausages, which were delicious, I got the fake hot dogs. The fake hot dogs, not only were they gross, like they were gross themselves, but they were the worst meat replacement product I've ever had. They tasted like plasticky. Yeah. It was awful. Absolutely atrocious. I was just like, oh. And that is what makes me think of like when people say like, oh, vegan food or vegetarian food's gross. And I'm like, yeah, if you fed me that, I would agree with you. I'd be like, yeah, that's fucking disgusting. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, once again, it always works because I was actually talking about my wife took a picture of my son eating spinach out of like the plastic tub at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Because you back off the mic just a second. That was really loud. but first of all, I yelled at her. I'm like, why are you letting him eat that? You have to wash that shit first.
It's true.
Riddled with E. coli. And my mom commented. She was like, Joey would never eat that when he was a boy, when he was little. And I'm like, yeah, because you made me spinach out of a can. And it was fucking disgusting. That's why I didn't eat spinach until I was an adult. And I realized fresh spinach tastes good. Yeah. Like it's like parents, it's fucking boomers.
Okay, boomer.
Exactly. Fucking boomers. All right. I don't think we have any other gaming news to talk about, do we? We can make fun of British food some more.
I don't know. Wellington's all right.
Yeah, it's beef Wellington. It's beef tenderloin wrapped in fucking pastry, puff pastries.
You know what,
mushrooms.
I will go hard on you.
Pine nuts are gross, though.
I will go hard on you. Against British breakfast. No one should be eating baked beans for breakfast. That's unacceptable.
Well, yeah. I mean, I like baked beans. I don't know. I've never really had them for breakfast, but whatever.
Unacceptable.
It's a lot of protein, though. It's good protein.
I mean, I eat natto, so I can't really talk too much. Yeah. Beans themselves are not off the table for breakfast, but fucking baked beans, they're like that's like a barbecue fucking 4th of July food. Ugh. I mean, I also hate baked beans. I think they're disgusting.
Well, that's your own fault.
But,
I love baked beans.
Baked beans being disgusting notwithstanding, the fact that they're for breakfast is just not a thing.
I love refried beans.
Well, yeah, refried beans are great.
I love refried beans for breakfast.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. but yeah, the fucking, whatever. It's all just grease anyway. No one should eat that much food anyway for breakfast.
Probably not.
No, it's
unless you actually are going to go bale some hay.
Hand. Even if you're doing that though, you don't need. Well, I guess it would all depend, but you probably should not eat that much grease.
Well, I mean, you're going to burn that off. If you're baling hay.
Yeah, but you're going to burn it off as you're shitting your pants when you're lifting up the hay bales.
Yeah, it's fine.
Just goes right through you, man.
Yeah, it's fine. They'll never smell it. They'll think it's the cows.
Think it's the cows.
Yeah, you're good.
just like when I was when I destroyed the bathroom over at my Giuseppe.
I don't know. I really liked those pickle chips.
They're really fucking good. Disgusting.
Oh, they were so good.
Fucking disgusting.
I love pickle chips.
No one should enjoy the taste of vinegar on a so fucking
good.
Chip.
It was so good.
Crisp.
It was delicious. Yes. Crisps.
Crisps.
Because yes. Chips are French fries. Which, I mean, it's chipped potatoes. I get it.
All right. So anyway, go to the Game Classy Facebook page, Game Classy Podcast. Best way you can get in contact with us. It's like, as soon as they drop the Old World news, we got like 3 DMs on that one. Like, yeah. Immediately. It was like, Old World's coming back. And we're like, yeah, we know.
I sleep. With the Shaquille O'Neal, I sleep.
I just, like, when I texted you, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of like, eh.
Oh, by the way, something we didn't talk about was that they had the announcement. I wish I had it in front of me. I'm not going to bother looking it up. But I think they're doing an Ale Guzzler list, which would be exciting. I would love to play an Ale Guzzler
just
list.
Just all Giants?
All Giants. Fuck yeah. Fuck yes. But aside from that, you could also go to our YouTube page, which is Game Classy Podcast on the YouTube. I put it up there. People listen, I guess. We didn't get that many.
It'll probably be deleted.
It'll probably be deleted. Like the guy who did the Stardust page. Did you hear about that?
The what?
The guy who does the Space Marine animated movie, Astartes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
His page got hacked.
Okay.
So it was big to-do on the interwebs. He's working with YouTube to get it back, but it's taking forever. Some guy hacked it. And then of all people to come to his aid was the guy who got punched at Adepticon. Remember the fucking right-wing gamer who got punched? Whatever his name is.
Nice.
The guy who was really, really harassing female gamers.
Yeah.
He's whatever his name was, Mick Asshole or whatever.
Yeah.
But he came to his aid, is like, we need to get this back. And I'm just like...
Mick face punched.
And I'm just like, yeah, why?
Because it's tabletop controversy, so he's got to get his name back out there so he can get more right-wing idiots to donate to his Patreon.
Exactly.
That's why.
I'm kind of like, oh, I was all for helping the Astartes guy. That movie's great, but I was like, I don't want anything to do with this guy. If I was the Astartes guy, I'd just be like, go away.
Beat it. Go harass another Magic cosplayer.
Yeah, go harass another Magic cosplayer. It's my right, freedom of speech. Everyone else is wrong.
Yeah, if the entire internet is yelling
now,
at
if
you,
ass crack
it might
magic,
be your fault.
If ass crack magic player was there,
yes,
is backing him up, I'd be all about
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, yeah. He stands for truth and justice.
And ass cracks, we don't know what he stands for. He could be awful.
Truth and justice.
He just likes to take pictures of guys.
Heart style.
More than likely, he's a shitlord. Let's be fair.
No, he's pretty funny. Okay. I do not. Well, I mean, from what I've seen, he seems to be pretty stand up.
Pretty stand up. All right. Well, that's good. At least sometimes heroes.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Not all heroes wear capes. You can also listen to our sister podcast. You can listen to Shin Play on Neo. Shin Play on Podcast Neo.
Yeah, the next episode will definitely be talking about Death Stranding.
Death Stranding.
Yeah.
I don't like this game because it's not what I wanted.
So far, every person I've seen talking about it likes it, so yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, and this is just always my feel on
the American Metacritic score was a little weird for the American critics, but everyone else likes it.
For me personally, it's like I always feel like with art, take me on a ride, tell me where to go. I don't want to go into something like Marvel movies are my example of it's like I don't need to be taken on a ride. I don't need to be like told this is what I like because it's a Marvel movie. These aren't like something that's gonna make me think. I don't want to think. Like if you're an artist like Kojima is, he's gonna tell me what to do and I'm going to enjoy it because
yeah, and Death Stranding is absolutely that. Like
he's an artist.
It's an open world game, but it's an open world game that tells you, hey, go here.
Yeah,
go here next. Yeah. And you're like, okay, cool. Like I'll do that.
But it's also it's part of his art. Like his art is designing a video game and giving you an experience.
Yeah,
it's not like. Battlefield or Call of Duty where it's fairly there's no art to that game.
Yeah, that game is designed to sell as many units as possible to make as much money as possible.
Yeah, or that's
as fast as possible.
As fast as possible.
Yeah.
Because the next one's gonna be gotta come out in a year.
Now, and this game is so bizarre, like you slam Monster Energy, like legit Monster Energy drink that's like in the game. Like you fucking chug it, the gain stamina back, which is hilarious. And then like, but on the other hand, like, so like on the one hand, you're slamming Monster Energy drink, you're fucking peeing outside, you're pooping, you're fucking bleeding, all sorts of weird, just esoteric bullshit is happening. And there's also horrifying Lovecraftian monsters. It's like, it's everything and it's nothing. Yeah. I very much like it.
He's telling you
This is your artistic experience. This is your experience.
This is the journey.
This is the journey.
I've very much been enjoying it. I think it's very, I don't know
if it's a journey. It's more of just an experience.
It's also very chill. Like there's parts that are definitely like stressful. Like there's combat and there's like the parts with the ghosts, the BTs. Like there's some stressful moments of that. But a lot of it is like just nice scenic views while you're driving. It's just like, oh, that looks nice. I'm gonna take nice. Mm-hmm. And Conan O'Brien is in it. I found Conan O'Brien. All
right.
He like popped out of nowhere. I was like, hey, it's Conan O'Brien.
All right. And then you can also listen to Deconstructing Daycare, which is all about cartoons for adults. You know, cartoons for kids is dissected by adults. So, Steve, until the next time.
Could it be bigger than Pokemon?
Yes.
Game Classy.